Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Alex Gorachev, welcome to the conversation today.
John, it's good to be here.
It is a pleasure to be with you. You're joining us from California. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And today we're going to be talking about your recent book, Fearless Innovation, Going Beyond the Buzzword to Continuously Drive Growth, Improve the Bottom Line, and Enact Change. I really like that. I think the topic of innovation is super important, but I like how you're couching it. And I really like the idea of getting beyond just the buzzwords, because we use these terms all the time. And a lot of times they're rather vacuous and surface level kinds of approaches to how we talk about these things. And so getting into it and digging into it more deeply is wonderful through your book. And hopefully we'll get a taste of that through the conversation we have together today. I wanted to share Alex's bio with everybody. Alex Gorachev, author of Fearless Innovation, is the former managing director of Cisco's Global Co-Innovation Center, where he spearheaded programs and initiatives to accelerate innovation. He is a Silicon Valley veteran who is a sought-after speaker on innovation and is often referred to as an innovation therapist. I think that's awesome. Anything else you would like to highlight by way of your background or personal context before we dive on in?
Yeah, my background initially in the innovation space was in the entertainment industry. I worked for a company called Napster and Bertelsmann Music Group. So I've seen a lot of transformation where innovation is not necessarily about hype only. It's about changing lives. And but I do come to believe that the internet has been created for more than entertainment and shopping. And there's a lot of potential if we get beyond the buzzwords. Or when we get beyond the buzzwords, there's a lot that we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a blast to the past when you mentioned Napster. I haven't thought about Napster in a really long time, but that was a really big deal back in the day. And that was very disruptive. Anyways, really great background. It's a pleasure to be with you. Maybe as we get started, I always like to ask authors, you know, why this book, why now? And I know, you know, you were the managing director of Cisco Global Co-Innovation. You were the managing director of Cisco's Global Co-Innovation Center. So that played a big role in this. But maybe you can talk to the background behind why this book.
Well, the story is very simple. A lot of people feel that the innovation is about technology. So coming from a technology powerhouse and one of the most prominent technology company on Earth, I've been often asked questions as to where we begin, and there will always be a question about what is the technology that we should use. Now, my answer was always simple, of course, Cisco. However, let's look at people, process, communication, and just the culture and the mindset, because innovation is not about technology, it's about people, and it's about managing change. And I felt that in the world of business books, especially in the technology space, it's all about buy this, not that, deploy cloud, or focus on your security, which are all valid topics. But for me, innovation is about staying curious on one side and being very disciplined and focused on execution in another side. And that's what I really like to talk about.
Yeah, excellent. And the enacting change piece, the sub, you know, it's a portion of the subtitle of your book. I completely agree. When we're talking about innovation, it's one thing to have, you know, the ideation phase where you're coming up with cool ideas. It's an entirely different thing to move from ideation into development and then implementation and enacting the change that you're trying to drive through whatever that technology is. You mentioned how innovation is all about people, not just the technologies. And I think that's absolutely right. It's the people that are utilizing them, and to the extent we can enact change via these disruptive technologies and the innovations that we are creating, you know, that's where you have the real lasting sort of impact. And that's how you start to get beyond the buzzword, as you mentioned a couple of times. It's fine to say the term innovation. I hear it all the time. And half the time I'm just chuckling to myself because I'm like, well, are they really committed to innovation? Are they really behind this? Or is it just the buzzword? Is it just the talking point? Is it just kind of the PR spin? And the reality is, for a lot of leaders and for a lot of organizations, it's just surface level, and they're not willing to do the work of, like you said, the discipline behind doing great creative and innovative work.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate what you said. Maybe just to I think the most important thing in the mindset is in a corporate space, understanding the cost of an action. I think we, and we all know our corporations are, as humans, are driven by loss. So we are afraid of taking risks. And I am afraid of taking risks. I work in companies that are afraid of taking risks, and I need to push myself to take more risks. And I have a 9-year-old who does that quite well. And in a corporation, there needs to be a group of executives and innovators, much like 9-year-old, that are pushing us to take risks. Now, let me think about what happens if we don't push, don't really adopt change, if we don't take risks. Looking at the Fortune 500 companies, I was just looking up the statistic 3 days ago. 76% of a Fortune 500 companies from year 2000 do not exist. They're gone. 76%. There are only 24% remaining. So that's like what? 100 something.
Yeah.
Now, these companies were well capitalized, well positioned, lots of smart people. Some of them may got a lot of innovation awards. I know Enron was one of the most innovative companies for years in a row. They innovated in accounting. other spaces where they should have been, right? And here's the thing: I think corporations, just like we humans, as we age, we become less curious and less open and less open to our surroundings. So are corporations. Mm-hmm. And those companies, they believe that they're in a dominant and prominent position. And then all of a sudden it's like, and everything's gone. So I feel it's essential that leaders understand that if they don't embrace innovation, and we can talk about how that's defined, they will have nothing to lead at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that many leaders are not only driven by purpose, they're driven by executive compensation, power. Yeah. There are a lot of different things. They'll have none of this. And I think that's an important motivator too.
Yeah. So you think of companies, well, you just mentioned 75%, I mean, are just gone, right? But you think of like behemoths, like previous generations in past decades, Xerox, companies like Blockbuster, Polaroid, you know, right. Like some of these major companies in their spaces that just became completely irrelevant over time. And it's the common cautionary tale that we hear about again and again, yet companies continue to fall into the same trap. And like you said, as you get more established and as you grow, it gets harder to be in a creative, innovative space unless you're super intentional about it, because you start to grow and you build out the systems and you have the bureaucracies and just the ability to turn and enact change and turn that cruise ship or that battleship versus, you know, the really small boat that can pivot on a dime. You know, those types of analogies are valid for a reason. It really is hard to change massive organizations, and they get complacent, they get comfortable, and they just stop being curious. They stop asking the questions and they stop trying to lead out. They just kind of feel like they're in the spot, they have control. And it's the same old story over and over and over again. And there's a bunch of common everyday companies that we all know today that 10, 20 years from now, we're going to look back and think, oh, remember that company? And they're just not either not relevant anymore or they don't exist anymore. And so we got to be very careful about that. And I think that gets into what you focus in on the book a lot around innovation strategies. You have a bunch of case studies, real world examples around business implementation of those innovative strategies. Maybe we can dig into that and talk more about what organizations can do.
Right. And I think what you've shared is very valid. Startups are somewhat of a dysfunctional team sport, and corporations are somewhat of a dysfunctional political process. And it's just the way it's what happens as organizations get older and they mature, they become more complex. So there are some problems that can be solved, and there are some problems that can only be managed. And innovation is not a problem that can be solved. It's an environment that can be created and can be managed. And I think the one example, I always begin with a metric. Whenever I talk to a leader and I ask him, how do you define innovation? And usually I hear a lot of buzzwords about creativity. There's no metric and no definition. And most successful organizations are actually defining innovation within a certain segment of organization, let's say accounting, marketing, engineering, whatever those functions are. And they're putting a very clear metric. So instead of saying, let's stay open and innovative and do our best, they focus on the small measurable milestones. And they're saying, this fiscal year, let's improve our customer on hold time and reduce it by 17% from 20 minutes to X. And I believe that this is a far better way to drive innovation culture than chasing billion-dollar ideas. It gives every employee and every team a purpose, an understanding, and a definition, and a goal. Most importantly, it actually holds leaders accountable to defining where that innovation is and being transparent whenever or not they're reaching that goal. And I think that's what really enables innovation. It's not the kombucha on top. It's not the creativity workshops. It's being pragmatic and solving a practical problem. That's where the joy comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what would you say, you know, some of those practical components that you've seen through the case studies and in various examples in your book, like what are some of those things that we can do to make sure that we're successfully executing not groundbreaking types of new billion-dollar idea types of innovations, but just those common everyday innovation strategies that are going to help us be successful?
Yeah, I think in today's world, it's really about creating the environment where everybody is heard. So it's actually going back to the This is the question that you're asking me is the question that any organization should be asking their employees and being very transparent with actually publishing the answers and making it available to all. So the question is, dear employees, what are the problems that you're seeing in our organizations? What are the problems you feel we should be focusing on? Or what are the opportunities that we're not pursuing? And how would we go and approach that? So the first step is to engage employees and create the safe space. And that is asking that very same question. What are the stupid things that we should stop doing? What are the smart things that we should be pursuing and why? And being very transparent about that as a step one. And as a step two, it's really getting very, very focused on what are those two, three things that each organization can pursue. And then most importantly, executing it in a true cross-functional manner. Because you and I know that invention is something that anybody can do alone, and they can probably, having a good attorney, they can file a patent. And less than 1% of the patents are commercialized. Innovation is something that can only happen in teams, and all organizations are talking about breaking silos. What a perfect example of identifying problems across the company and then getting behind on solving them. Does that sound utopian to you, or how does this resonate with you?
No, I think absolutely. Again, you can't do anything of meaning in real sustainable disruptive change without breaking down the silos and working interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary, working collaboratively across the organization, especially if you're beyond like the small startup phase, right, where you have a small team. You better have that kind of cross-silo, you know, breaking down the silos, cross-functional types of collaborations if you want these things to be able to take effect. So creating that culture of learning, creating that culture of growth, creating that, right, culture of experimentation, holding people accountable for their collaborative efforts, you know, not just individual KPIs within their individual units. All of these sorts of things are going to be super, super important. Are there other things that you see either on the positive side, or perhaps we could look at some of the mistakes that organizations are making commonly around their innovation strategies that they may have, or that they may call innovation strategies?
You kind of two things, I think, and you mentioned it. I think it's a chasing dollar. It's two things. It's focusing on disruption. There's nothing wrong with focusing on disruption. Disruption happens no matter what. But it's important that we focus on the value creation. A lot of companies come in from, like, we want to disrupt this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that's not necessarily a positive thinking in a way. Let's focus on adding value and solving a problem versus disrupting something. So let's focus on creation. And then another one, I was once in the meeting where a very important executive, I should say, looked, and he was kind of angry, I think, about the company not doing really well. And he was in front of a lot of employees and lecturing them how innovative they should be. And he said, and I want to hear your billion-dollar ideas. You better come up with a billion-dollar ideas and share it with me. And one of very bright and very outspoken engineers in our company looked at him and said, dude, if I had a billion-dollar idea, why would I give it to you? That was an ego buster, let me tell you. That was, I mean, the room just almost like cheered. And
what was the
thing.
Response? How did the CEO respond to that?
Well, he was media trained. It was but I think he learned his lesson, right? So the response was obviously about creativity and rewards and creating value for all, not only for the executives, but for the shareholders and how we're all here to serve the customer. But that didn't really answer the employee's question. And here's the thing. One, it's about creating rewards. But the second one is stop chasing billion-dollar ideas. Mm. Empower people. It's far easier to save $1 billion in a large company than to make $1 billion. So instead of focusing on the product, I see a lot of companies that are focused on the product. They all want to create something and ship it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the innovation that I see, successful innovation, is in the process. If we think about Uber, or if we think about DoorDash, I mean, these are very simple examples. It's all about process.
Yeah.
All the components existed before. So I feel it's important that innovation companies focus on process innovation, which allows them to get everybody involved, take out costs, deliver things to market faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the mistake of feeling that process is not sexy enough and it's all about shipping a new product, I think that's not necessarily it's not necessarily the pragmatic thinking. Once we can save $1 million, we can probably make 5. But if we can't save anything and empower people to change the existing structure, we can't build a new one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I see that all the time as well. Great things to think about in terms of the common pitfalls and mistakes that people make. And I just could not help but laugh about that experience in that boardroom or in the all hands meeting or wherever the specific context was. I mean, we see those types of things happen a lot. And yeah, if I have an amazing idea, Why would I give it to you? Why would I stay with the company? You know, right. Why wouldn't I go off and start my own make my $1 billion? And so we, you know, it's silly on many levels, you know, that kind of an example. And so it's good that that CEO learns that lesson. It's a good thing for all of us to remember, like encouraging people to ask questions, to experiment, to try new things in the simple everyday of the workflow and like the things that they do in their jobs, that tends to make way more difference in terms of cost savings, in terms of productivity, in terms of new creative ideas that then can turn into products than ever just sitting around the room thinking, what's going to be our next $1 billion idea?
Right. And employee engagement, right? We all talk about employee engagement. When we empower people to change their experience at work, and take ownership, then we become like a startup, right? It's all about taking responsibility. It's all about empowering others. And look, I haven't used the buzzword called AI or generative AI or LLM, whatever those things are. But we live in the world. I truly believe that the companies that do not embrace artificial intelligence quickly will be gone, just gone. And I feel that from an innovation perspective, AI is an equal, it's really an ultimate equalizer in the organization, as it allows to disrupt silos, remove layers, equip employees with information, and think about using AI for knowledge sharing within the organization. So a lot of organizations are not necessarily innovative because information is power. Therefore, information is protected and siloed, and people don't share.
Yeah.
AI is all about sharing. Imagine data being accessible and knowledge, organizational data and knowledge accessible to all. That changes innovation landscape completely in the corporation. So I feel that is a major transition that some say is overhyped. I'd say it's underestimated.
And there certainly is hype around it. Again, you know, the buzz term hype, right? Like there's lots of that kind of hype, but in terms of like underestimating the overall impacts and how disruptive it's going to be, I'm not sure we can overstate that. You know, it's just going to be tremendous. Well, Alex, this has just been a really great conversation. We've only scratched the surface. There's so much more in your book that we could explore, but I note the time. I need to let you go here in just a minute before we wrap things up for today. I wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, where they can find your book, and then give us a final word on the topic for today.
Sure. So I'm Alex Gorychev. I can be found on LinkedIn or alexgorychev.com. I work with organizations primarily on innovation culture. And when I say culture, that means clear, measurable milestones and outcomes. Right now, I'm primarily focused on artificial intelligence and getting what I would call AI readiness and digital capabilities in the organizations. And it all begins with AI. So again, coming back to AI and innovation, I think we are entering into the age that where everything is about to change. And, you know, 5 or 6 years ago or 10 years ago, we were saying that every company would become a digital company. Right now, I want to say that every digital company will become an AI company, and AI is bigger than the internet and cloud and everything else combined. It's huge, and it's important that the organizations that want to innovate look into that space sooner than later.
Yeah, well said. Alex, this has just been a pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Alex can do for you, check out the book. Let's really explore innovation in really meaningful, purpose-driven, intentional ways. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.